Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we will continue our study of Iyov. In the previous chapter, Iyov acknowledged and lauded the Creator's awesome power, marveling at the all-encompassing reach of God's wonders, apparent from the heavens to the bowels of the earth. He agrees with his friend's affirmation that human perception cannot fully grasp the plan and purpose of Hashem's creation, nor can man understand God's ways in sustaining the worlds he created. However, Iyov remains doubtful that God cares for all individuals to whom he endowed life and intelligence, and questions whether Hashem rewards or punishes them while they are alive, according to each one's actions. Nevertheless, Iyov achingly searches for evidence that Hashem, whom he worships and yearns for, continues to see him, and that Hashem will respond to his cries. At the close of the 26th chapter, Iyov apparently left his friends speechless. Perhaps their silence and Sofal's refusal to engage further in debate indicates that they have given up on him, viewing Iyov as a lost soul. In this, the 27th chapter, which we will examine today, Iyov swears to hold on to his faith in a just God who does not tolerate sycophants and false piety. He vows never to utter an untrue word, nor concede, actively or passively, to statements that he deems false. He is committed to the emes, even if it entails losing his life, to sanctify the God whose seal is emes. He opens with a solemn oath. Chai el hisir mishpati, v'shakai hemar nafshi. Ki kol od nishmati bi, v'ruach eloka be'api. Im tedaber nasfatai avla, v'leshoni im yehege remia. Chalila li im atzdik etchem, adegva lo asir tumati mimeni. As surely as God lives, who has deprived me of justice, the Almighty who has embittered my soul, as long as my soul is still within me and the breath of God remains in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness and my tongue will not utter deceit. I will never say that you are right. I will maintain my integrity until I die. Rashi quotes Rabbi Yehoshua in the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Sotah, who saw this vow as proof positive that Iyov had and continues to serve God out of love and not out of fear of retribution or expectation of reward, as the Satan had originally claimed. Malbim adds that Iyov refuses to be duplicitous to Hashem and to his own soul, which is Chelek Eloka Mimal, and whose divine power allows him to distinguish between truth and falsehood, between good and evil. It would be a desecration of God and the sacred neshama with which he had been endowed to admit to a sin he did not commit. Iyov vows that he will remain true to his own conscience and the God he adores so long as he lives. Betzitkati hechazakti velo erpeha. Lo yecheraf levavi miyamai. I have clung to my righteousness, and I will never let go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. In verses 7 and 8, Iyov points out the futility of insincere confessions and prayer devoid of heartfelt intention. He warns his friends not to follow the ways of the wicked, who believe they can hoodwink an omniscient God, flattering him with hypocritical pronouncements of faith. Yehi charasha oivi umitkomemai ke'aval. Kimat tikvat chanef ki yivtza. Ki yeshel eloka nafsho. There is considerable disagreement about the meaning of these verses. Some interpret this as a veiled curse directed at sycophants who try to manipulate God with insincere praise and translate these verses accordingly. May my enemy be like the wicked and my adversaries be like the unjust. For what is the hope of the flatterer when he is cut off, when God takes away his life? He uses Bildad's own words in chapter 8, verse 13, V'tikvat chanef toved, the hope of the flatterer is lost, as a boomerang, obliquely condemning his friends, whom he subtly accuses of hypocrisy. If his friends believe that Hashem knows one's thoughts and intentions, and not only his overt actions, how can they dare utter statements that they do not believe? Or make accusations without proof about Eov and his children? Mitzudat David summarizes the gist of these verses as Eov's rebuttal to his friend's call for repentance and their insistence that Eov should plead for mercy. He would translate these verses as, I would be like the wicked, like my despicable enemies, if I should utter lies. What possible hope is there for the flatterer after death? Would Hashem respond to the cries of a liar when he is unresponsive to the pleas of the righteous? Thus he declares in verses 9 and 10, Hatzaakato Yishmael, ki tavo alav tzara, im al shaka yitanag, yikra eloka bechol et. Will God hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? Will he delight in the Almighty and call upon God in any time? Mitzudat David suggests that Eov is convinced that Hashem has relegated the physical world to the ma'arechet, the blind laws of natural systems that do not differentiate between the righteous and the wicked. Nevertheless, as a man of conscience, Eov will continue to avoid doing evil, and Eov feels bound to moral law, which Hashem imprinted only upon Adam to distinguish him from the amoral animals. Eov would rather have the spiritual satisfaction of doing what is ripe than reaping any material recompense in this world. And if, as his friends assert, justice will be restored in a life after death, where God alone will differentiate between the tzaddik and the rasha, then what chance is there if he confesses to a lie? Eov then begins to teach his friends the ways of God and the inevitable fate of the wicked, and again throws back some of the phrases that Eliphaz and Sofar have used in their earlier speeches. Ore etchem biyad kel, asher im shakai lo achached. Hen atem kulchem chazitem, velama ze hevel tehabelu. I will teach you about the power of God. The ways of the Almighty I will not conceal. You have all had these visions yourself, so why then this meaningless hot air? Rashi contends that Eov is sincere in warning his friends of the consequences of false flattery. Ramban rejects this position and suggests that the ensuing description of the fate of the arrogant Rasha is uttered sarcastically. Indeed, Eov is echoing his friends' condemnations Hevel Tehebalu, deducing that Eov must have committed horrific sins to deserve such pain. He mimics Eliphaz's claim to divine visions and casts it back at him and his companions, saying, "You all saw how the wicked thrive and succeed, so why do you spout such nonsense?" And proceeds to paraphrase their description of the fate of evildoers. Zech chelek adam rasha im el, v'nachalat aritzim mishakai kahu. Im yobu banav lemocharef, v'tzeetzaav lo yisbeu lachem. Here is the portion God allots to the wicked, the heritage ruthless men receive from the Almighty. However many his children, their fate is the sword. His offspring will never have enough to eat. Ramban explains that these assertions were made by his friends without wisdom or understanding. They were spouting ideas that they had heard from others and of which they had no direct knowledge. Therefore, Eov admonishes them that they must admit that the suffering of the innocent and the serenity of the evil are undeniable mysteries that are beyond human comprehension. Hashem has chosen not to reveal these secrets to humanity, and it would be best if we would all admit, "I don't know," rather than mouth hevel, empty, hot air. Amos Chacham notes that this chapter continues with a vivid description of the losses and anguish that Eov himself is experiencing, but would be justly the appropriate reprisal for those who make libelous recriminations against an innocent man. He lies down wealthy, but will do so no more. When he opens his eyes, all is gone. Terrors overtake him like a flood. A tempest snatches him away in the night. Eov has lost not only his property and his family. He is traumatized by having his worldview pulled out from underneath him. And now the friends that came ostensibly to provide comfort and encouragement hurl nothing but guilt and loneliness at him. Men shall clap their hands at him and hiss him out of his place. But it is not the loss of his wealth that eats away at Eov's heart. It is not even the grief brought by the untimely death of his children. It is not even the loneliness of being misunderstood and derided by his society. Rabbi Aaron Kaminka notes that Eov's greatest anguish is the fact that he cannot make sense of anything that has happened to him. Feeling abandoned by God, he searches for wisdom and a purpose for living, as we shall see in the following chapter. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.